Psalms chapter 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Let's pray. Father, how can I even begin to deal with such a subject as this? Lord, it's beyond me, it's beyond all of us together, all of us put together. So, Father, as we consider this text, consider this subject, Lord, move and guide and direct so that, Lord, we would catch a glimpse of the infinite God, that we may, Lord, just break down and worship you. We ask, Father, that you would be with us now once more. Lord, may our attention be glued upon your word and those principles from your word. God, help us that we may exalt you, not just with words, not just with thoughts, Lord, as we think about this and we apply these things, we ask, Father, now that you would hear us, because we pray not in our own name and our own righteousness, which is just filthy rags, but in the name and the imputed righteousness of Christ, which he wrought for us at the cross. Amen. The infinity of God. I couldn't help but think about Buzz Lightyear. To infinity and beyond. Well, that is just a bunch of hype. No creature has any idea what infinity even is, hardly. It's an exaggeration, or we could just simply say it's a lie. We cannot go to infinity and beyond in the sense in which that character, Buzz Lightyear, speaks of. This riddles, these kinds of pipe dream statements riddle the humanistic hype, the virtuous or virtual vaporous world of unreality. These kinds of statements can only apply to the infinite God. Infinity, when we think of it in terms of our Creator, means that He is unbounded. He is unlimited. And as our text says, He is unsearchable. He's incomprehensible because of that. He is immeasurable. He's incomparable. God embraces every degree of every perfection without limitation. Think about that. God embraces every degree of every perfection without limitation. That's amazing. That just boggles your mind. God is so great, it says there in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Infinity contrasts God with man. God is infinite. Man is finite. Man has limitations. But we see that God is not bound by space and God is not bound by time. That's how awesome our God is. Now, this ought to strike fear, a godly fear in people's hearts. It ought to cause us to bow and worship in our hearts when we take in consideration what the Word of God says about our God. Our puny minds cannot comprehend fully the God who is described in our text, whose greatness is infinite. It's unsearchable. That's how great He is. We only begin, when we're first converted, we only begin to comprehend God. And we're learning a little bit at a time, but we don't have enough terabytes in our memory to be able to process the infinite God. That's how great He is. And this ought to embolden us that we serve that kind of God. The kings of the earth can do what they want to. The world can make all their plans and scheme all their schemes. But we serve the infinite God. Infinite in every degree of every perfection without limitation. That's the kind of God we serve. That ought to embolden us. There's no search engine that could fathom the depths or reach the heights or span the breadth of the infinite God. That search engine would have to have begun searching in eternity past and is still searching and will search to eternity future. Because God is unsearchable. He's infinite. That is amazing. You ever searched something and took a while for it to search? Well, think about for an eternity. That is how unsearchable and infinite God is. He is. When I think about infinite, I think about endless. And I try to just imagine what it's like. Imagine walking to the sun, if you could. Walking by foot 93 million miles. Can you imagine that? That's not infinity. If I could just think about the stars of the heaven, that's a lot. But it's not infinite. If I could think about the sands of the sea, wow, that's a lot. But it's not infinite. But if I put the sands of the sea, the stars of heaven, and the many miles to the sun put together, that still isn't infinite. That's how big our God is. Sometimes when you think about how big the world is, this world is less than a speck of dust in the sight of the infinite God. We cannot fully figure out God because He's infinite. You cannot fully figure out God. That's how great He is. This text that I just read ought to color all of our thinking when we think about God. He's an infinite God. He is infinitely holy. He is infinitely wise. He is infinitely powerful. It should color all our thinking about God. And so we want to look at is just a few things, because this is an infinite subject. I don't have an infinite amount of time to deal with this. But we'll just look at a few things Let's look, first of all, that the infinity of God is demonstrated by His eternity. God's infinity as to duration is called His eternity. He doesn't have a beginning, and He doesn't have an end. He's the infinite God. It's possessed by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who have a common, undivided nature of being infinite. He's the eternal God, whether you look backward or whether you look forward. God is not subject to the law of time. God is not time. Time is in God. To Him, past, present, and future is one eternal now. 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." It's been well remarked that God is no older now than in the days of David or when the world was created. For time makes no changes with God. He's the Ancient of Days, but not the Ancient in Days. He's without end. It's not difficult, and to some sense, to understand something that has no end. What's really difficult is to understand something that has no beginning. That's the way He is. And to be infinite, He must be without beginning and without end. This attribute is something that is only characteristic of God. This kind of existence can only be attributed to God. From His necessary self-existence, the existence of God is something that is not, that's arbitrary, that's from His own will or from another. If it's from His own will, it would suppose His previous existence, which would be a contradiction. If His existence is from the will of someone else or something else, it would be both prior and therefore superior to God. It cannot be. God must be eternal and He must be infinite. It says there in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10, "Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." God is infinite, and it may be argued from His immutability. If God's not eternal, He must have passed from non-existence into being, and this would involve a change. But the Scriptures tell us there in Psalms 102, verse 27, "But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall have no end." The eternity of God can also be argued from His attributes such as His power is eternal. The power of the eternal power of the Godhead there in Romans chapter 1. His knowledge is from eternity in Acts 15, 18. His mercy, it says in the book of Psalms 103, verse 17, is from everlasting to everlasting. Jeremiah tells us that His love is an everlasting love. And we find that even the very name of God, Jehovah, He is the existing one. He's the, in other words, the eternal one. It's spoken of there in Psalms 83:18. God exists naturally and necessarily. There's no cause of His existence. He's the great first cause, and therefore He cannot ever be the effect of any cause. He is the cause, and the Scriptures tell us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But then we find that the infinity of God is demonstrated by His omnipresence. This means, of course, and we learned this morning, that God is everywhere. He is not bound by space. And David mentions that in Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10. You know, if he would go into heavens, if he went, made his bed in hell, wherever, thou art there. He's infinite. He's not bound. He's boundless when it comes to space. He's boundless when it comes to time. He's the eternal God. He's the omnipresent God. There is no escape for the wicked, and there's no separation from Him for the righteous. His power is everywhere. It appears in creation. It appears in providence. His knowledge is omnipresent. The presence of God can be considered in a lot of different ways. There's His glorious presence. There's a special presence and a manifestation of Christ as He walks in the midst of His churches. His powerful and providential presence is with all His creatures because it says that He upholds all things by the word of His power. His gracious presence with us to regenerate, to sanctify, to comfort, to bless. He never leaves us nor forsakes us no matter where we go. We see God's wrathful presence in hell there in Psalms 139. We see God's essential presence everywhere. God is so immense. When it comes to time, when it comes to eternity, when it comes to space, it says in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27, but will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. You know, people try to put God in the box, don't they? You know, or they try to put God on the shelf. Or that to try to put Him out of existence. It's impossible. Amen. That the infinite God could be put in a box, put on a shelf, or put out of existence. He's eternal. He's omnipresent. He's infinite. Now, some people would say, well, wait a minute, wait, whoa, whoa. What about there in Genesis? What about when it says that Cain went out of the presence of the Lord? What about that? Well, what did Cain do? He went out from the place of worship of God. Remember I was saying there's a special presence in the place of worship? Like I described about Christ having a special presence among His churches. And what about Jonah? We just learned. What did he do? He fled from the presence of the Lord. He fled from the presence of His blessing, and he also found out there's no way you can hide from God. You can't hide from God. He's infinite. He's omnipresent. The God with whom we have to do has no limits, except those limits He may put on Himself. Someone might say, well, wait a minute, what about there in Psalm 74 or 78, verse 41? They limited the Holy One of Israel. Did they really limit the Holy One of Israel? In their minds they did. We do that, don't we? We put limitations of God in our mind. Well, God, you can't do this. You're not going to save that person. Well, God will use somebody else. And lo and behold, whoa, they were saved. God saved them. We can put limitations in our mind, but we cannot truly limit God. He's infinite. There's no crisis with Him. No secret places. It says there in Hebrews 4:13, all things are naked and open with the God with whom we have to do. There's no withstanding Him when His wrath is aroused. And when He chooses to execute His wrath. But then thirdly, we see God's infinity demonstrated by God's omniscience. Notice what it says in Psalms 147, just a couple chapters over from our text, and verse 5. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Now, how do I make the connection between omniscience and understanding that's infinite? How can you understand everything and have all the facts unless you know everything? How can you have infinite understanding unless you have an infinite knowledge? God knows it all. He's the true know-it-all. He's omniscient. He knows all things. We get frustrated and we get discouraged and we get upset because we don't understand why certain things are happening to us. And part of the reason why we're that way is that we don't have all the facts. We don't understand. Our finite minds cannot contain all the facts. I thought about the computer again. Now, a computer can only hold so much information. And once it approaches that capacity from memory, what happens typically? The computer starts slowing down, right? And sometimes it takes forever to be able to retrieve a file because we're near capacity. There has to be a certain degree of capacity to process the information. So, this is especially true the older that a computer gets, typically speaking. Doesn't that describe us? The older we get more and more information stored, and it's taken longer and longer to process and retrieve that information. But not so with God. He has infinite capacity. He's omniscient. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to get stressed out because we don't know everything. God infinitely knows and infinitely understands everything that's going on. And praise God, He has got infinite power to deal with it appropriately. Remember Peter when he said, as the Lord asked him, do you love me? And what did Peter say? Would he confess concerning Christ? Lord, Thou knowest all things. Lord Jesus, You are omniscient. Your knowledge is infinite. Acts 15:8, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Isaiah 46 in the next verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. I love studying about who God is. For the wicked, they hate it. But for the child of God, we love it. Because it brings comfort to our hearts. It emboldens us. This is the God I'm serving. This is the God that's for me. This is the God who tells me, go out into the world. He's got my back. He's empowering me and enabling me and giving me the privilege to be a light in a dark world. But then fourthly, God's infinity is demonstrated by God's omnipotence. There in Isaiah 40 and verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is, again, no searching of His understanding. And we see all that's in there. He's everlasting. He doesn't faint. He's not weary. In other words, he doesn't become weak and powerless. And he is infinite understanding. This unsearchable and infinite God never wearies to come to our aid as his children because he is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He is infinitely all powerful. I mean, it's something else, all powerful. That's a tremendous statement by itself. But to be infinitely all powerful, that's our God. Jeremiah took comfort in that Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God. You can see the emotion and the passion behind that statement. That kind of an expression is something that is typical of a child of God. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Nothing. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Because he's an infinitely omnipotent God. And of course, the very familiar passage where it says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, where they say, hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. And then fifthly, God's infinity is demonstrated by God's works. Many, O Lord, in Psalms 40 and verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. How do you measure somebody's love for you? One of the ways that you measure somebody's love for you is how much they think about you. God's thoughts toward us are infinite. Me? Who's less than a worm? Yes. That's what he thinks about us. That just floors me. There, we've mentioned this passage as we've dealt with these attributes of God, but I can't help but coming back to there in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches. He's seeking to sound the depths, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, who hath given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. I find that amazing. His wisdom, his knowledge, his judgments, his ways. Matter of fact, you looked at that word. Well, we're going to deal with that in just a minute, but let's look sixthly at it's demonstrated by Christ. God's infinity is demonstrated by Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Ephesians 3 and verse 8, it says, unto me, Paul speaking in the church there, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? What is it? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. This word unsearchable means infinite. The infinite riches that are in Jesus Christ. It's the same word that's translated past finding out in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. The riches of Christ are unsearchable. They're infinite. They're past finding out. We cannot sound the depths of it. We cannot span the breadth of it. We cannot reach the heights of it. It's that great. It's that infinite. It reminds me of what Paul said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for what? His unspeakable gift. And then notice what it says in a little bit after the Ephesians chapter 3. Look in verse 14. For this cause I bowed my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell on your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to what? To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. To know the love of Christ, that passeth knowledge. It's so, so great. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The eternal life, the amazing grace, the undeniable truth of God's Word, the peace that passes all understanding, the joy unspeakable and full of glory, all these don't come close to the unsearchable riches, the infinite riches that are found in Jesus Christ. I think in eternity we're going to keep on learning how great He is. What did that do to Paul? I bowed down my knees. I tell you, one of the evident tokens of being a child of God, there are times in your life. And if you ever had those times in your life, you long for those times again. You don't want anything manufactured. You want it really to happen where you bow down before God because you're so overwhelmed that such a God would love you. And that you're able to serve Him. You're just overwhelmed at the infinite goodness of God towards you. And that brings me with the closing word of application. I want us to look back at our text. And as I've said time and time again, any doctrine worth believing is worth applying. This is just, in this text here, is just really a sampling, kind of like an outline of our response to the infinity of God. So what can we say about this? The infinity of God declared by us and in some small measure demonstrated by us and the infinite God working through us. This is where we take doctrine and we put it to practice. We declare it, we demonstrate it in the way that we live. Listen to the psalmist here. Listen to David. As we look at the context of this passage, notice how he starts out. Before he even gets to the greatness of God's infinity, I will extol thee, my God and my King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. And then he goes on, for every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. That's a long time. Great is the Lord. How great? And greatly to be praised. Declaring His greatness. And His greatness is unsearchable. It's infinite. It's immeasurable. God's infinity is declared by us, by our never-ending day-by-day praise to the infinite God. Notice, one generation shall praise thy works to another. I said, declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, of his who he is, and of thy wonderful, wondrous works, what he does. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. See what this doctrine does to David? It makes his life overflow with praise to God. This is a house of praise. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices of praise to God. And it goes on to say, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men. Listen, to make known, to declare, to live out, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and his glorious and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The world is nigh to them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever. Here we go again. And ever. I tell you, the infinity of God did something to David. It blessed his soul. And it blessed my soul to just read what was written. And so may we bless God and praise Him, that infinite God whose love toward us is an infinite love. I like what Job said. In Job 26:14, it says, lo, these are parts of his ways. But how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? This is only part of his ways that we have in this book. There's a revelation to come when we shall see him as he is. And know over and over and over and more and more and more the infinite God that has called us by His grace and has allowed us to be part of this eternal inheritance that we have with the saints of God. May people know that we serve an infinite God. His greatness is infinite. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts.